Researcher at Celestia Labs. I've been test. Why could you not hear me? You could hear me the whole time.
I can hear you.
All right. I'll keep talking. Well, I'm the co-host, so it's great. Yeah. Either way. I've been at Celestia Labs for 1.5 years now. What are the topics that I'm researching? Mostly modular architecture and how that influences primitives that we already know, like bridging, or how those modular components interact with each other, shared sequencers, proven networks, liquid staking, restaking, all of that stuff. And yeah, that's what I've been working on, and great to be here. I'll give the mic to Marco, so I'm not sure if Norm is back, but yeah.
Hey, I'm Marco. I'm hoping you can hear me. I'm the Cosmos SDK lead. I've been in Cosmos for 5-ish years. Been enjoying every minute of it. It's a bit of Stockholm syndrome, so I'm basically here forever. And I lead the Cosmos SDK, and I used to work on Tendermint, and kind of have a holistic picture of a lot of the stack. Yishi, you want to go?
Yes, thank you, Marco. The name is Ishai, by the way, so you can think about it like email, just Ishai. And yeah, it's a tough one. Don't worry about it. So yeah, my name is Ishai. I'm co-founder and CEO of Dimension. I'm here to talk about rollups in Cosmos. You know, for me, it's exciting. It's a great time for us to, you know, to dive into what Dimension is doing, as accomplished, and what the future looks like. And I'm stoked. I think this is just the time to drill down these subjects.
Here. I'm finally connected. Hope everyone can hear me. I can finally hear everyone else. And sorry for butchering your name, Ishai. With my name, I really shouldn't. there you go.
No worries.
But maybe we can get started with you. I'm curious to hear, because I think Dimension is pretty much, you know, besides of course Celestia, is one of the first projects out there that, you know, really enables folks to build rollups and start thinking about that in specifically around Cosmos. And I'm quite interested to hear, maybe you can walk us through a little bit how Dimension works, what sort of the business case there, but also on the technical side, like how do things operate a little bit to help us understand that a little bit better?
Yeah, definitely. So we went on this journey of Dimension, I guess, more than 2 years ago when we wanted to build a rollup SDK. So we started to think about it. We started to kind of research how it works on Ethereum. And then we got to a conclusion that, guess what? Cosmos is the kind of expert in terms of the stack, in terms of what it's building, in terms of app chain. So we got into Cosmos and we figured out there is no kind of vertical solution in Cosmos. And the way that Ethereum is built is that smart contracts are basically holding the funds. So this was kind of the most fundamental reason that we wanted to go and build Dimension, that we figured that Ethereum isn't actually a settlement layer. The smart contracts are a settlement layer and they're holding the funds and it's not built for that. So we went to Cosmos and started researching there. Got to kind of the modular paradigm and figured out this makes a lot of sense, right? we thought about it more as kind of database backend front end, and this is how we developed Dimension in that attitude or that mindset. And we wanted to achieve that functionality where everybody could spin up their own front end instance, connect to Dimension or another settlement layer for that matter, and decide where to post data. So this is kind of the, I'd say, the higher level design of Dimension. We can drill down a bit more, but in the tech stack itself, it uses the Dimension LDK, which is basically the Cosmos SDK modified to support Diamond, which is a drop-in replacement for Tendermint, and originally based upon the good work of the team in Celestia, which was once called Optimint. But I'm not a big kind of tech guy that wants to talk a lot about the tech. I am much more focused on product and making the UX of what we're trying to achieve the best thing ever. And from there, we want to get to the tech. So what we wanted to achieve in Dimension is an A to Z kind of approach where you as a single developer can deploy your own chain, not be in custody of user funds, get the bridge, choose VM, and have a scalable environment. This is what Dimension is all about.
Love it. No, that's good. I think that's a rare thing where people in crypto start thinking about the problem first that they're trying to solve in the user experience and then start thinking about the tech. I think most of the time, a lot of the times, we're seeing a lot of tech first and let's figure out the problem later. So I'm glad to hear that.
I appreciate that. And I think this is exactly what brings us forward in terms of Dimension. Like, we're literally not, I don't think about the tech. Like, I thought about a lot. Okay, we're having optimistic rollups. And I guess like almost 16, 15 months ago, I was like, oh, who the hell is going to use optimistic rollups with waiting the dispute period? That doesn't work. And from that problem, I've reached EIDC, which in my opinion is one of the most innovative or one of the most interesting things that we innovate in the Cosmos ecosystem is creating this EIDC protocol. For those who don't know, EIDC is basically IBC for rollups, for optimistic rollups. And it's essentially an intent-based bridge that sits on top of IBC. So once you look at the problem from the user perspective and not think about the tech, you get to nice creative solutions.
Amazing. Yeah, I would love to talk a little bit more about bridging a little bit later. I think there's a lot to be discussed here, especially rollups and IBC is an interesting sort of combination with a bunch of pitfalls that also need to be overcome. But maybe we'll move on. I'm curious also, I missed the NashQ's intro. So maybe we can talk a little bit about sort of like the business case for rollups. I'm curious here. And maybe, you know, NashQ, because you work at Celestia and you're one of the first sort of, fixing this whole data availability layer issue. I'm curious what your thoughts are, sort of like, why are we actually doing all of this? Why is everyone moving towards rollups? What's really in it for the rollup builder and for the user in this case?
Okay, so this is a great question, and it really depends from which direction you're coming, right? If you're a rollup on, let's say, Ethereum, and your data availability cost is high, which of course now is lower with EIP-4844, the easiest business case was, okay, I'm already using data availability. Can I just use something that is cheaper and will scale in the future with me? And Celestia is, you know, it's not dropping a replacement. There's some integration work that needs to happen, but you can already see a lot of rollups opting in to using Celestia because the sequencer revenue just increases. Right. This is coming from, okay, I'm already in L2. Should I use another data availability layer? But then you have, okay, on the Cosmos side, hey, I'm building a blockchain. How should I build it? Right. And you can build it as a new L1, or you can build it as a rollup. And the benefits of rollups here are you can go again to through cost, right? Where I have to pay validators token inflation, and that could hurt my business long term, or the business case would roll up at the blockchain. And or you can also say that I can use IBC, but the IBC that currently exists has some problems that, let's say, or some security assumptions that L2s do not have, right? So if you are a rollup developer that wants to lower those security assumptions, you might want to opt in into another security model. And the last, I think the most important thing also relating to bridging is that if rollups use the same data availability layer through shared security, you have enabling higher interoperability in between each other, because now the trust assumption is much lower. And bridging between rollups, cross rollup communication, can happen just with a shared view of state commitments and having the same layer being used for data availability. So I think those are really facts which, you know, you can scale with an ecosystem, which makes choosing rollup architecture, if you want to build another blockchain, really the go-to.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I hear you. I think I'm hearing there's a business case in the sense of like it's cheaper. I think that's generally sort of the argument. It's cheaper mostly. But I guess there's also an operational benefit here as well, where I guess you don't have to search for a set of validators and all that stuff as well. I'm curious then, you know, like in the beginning, the whole Cosmos thesis was, okay, app chains. We're going to be building app chains. Everyone wants their own block space. We'll build applications as blockchains. And now, you know, that turns out to be quite a popular thesis, but not just within Cosmos. But I think in the end, the rollups are essentially just app chains. I'm curious to hear from Marco, maybe. You've been working on the Cosmos SDK for a long time now, and you're seeing this change in the Web3 world occur. How is the SDK positioning itself sort of like for that future? And what are you guys currently working on?
Yeah, so the role of future is definitely here. And I think getting the SDK to a point when to be able to be used with rollups and different forms of rollups is basically what a lot of the focus is on right now. More so, it's basically how to make the software adaptive to market conditions, less so like there's a bigger focus on like rollups now, but also just building a more modular software that can enable us to do more in the future. Kind of like things that we're exploring now. We're working with a couple teams on proving state transitions in order to take advantage of fraud proofs, ZK proofs, and all the ZK VMs that are coming out. Really just simplifying the software. So I think there's a lot of complexity in building a framework. And now we have a lot of the knowledge that we didn't have when the SDK and many other SDKs were developed. And so now we're taking that newly learned logic and newly learned knowledge and applying it to the development of the Cosmos SDK.
Nice. So am I hearing ZK availability at some point for the SDK? Like I said, at the moment, that's kind of hard, right? Doing ZK proofs on the SDK.
Yeah. So there's like two forms of ZK when we talk about it here. There's the ZK like private state, and then there's the proving of execution via a validity proof. And we're more so working on the latter, being that you can prove execution of a transaction inside a ZK VM.
Nice. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. And so then what is the, how, you know, maybe in a more higher level, what is the state of rollups in Cosmos right now? Like, is it, okay, we got Dimension, we have Celestia, we have Rollkit, that's part of Celestia. And of course, there's a bit of overlap there with Dimension as well. What else is there out there right now that you know, if you're a builder, that you need to be looking at? Question for anyone. Or is that it?
I think there's also Initia, right, where they build, not entirely sure, I forgot, but they also work with the Cosmos SDK, I believe, and have different VMs. And there's also the version of Polymer, right? Polymer acting, I think, as a communication hub of this time OP stack rollups, like Cosmos SDK on top of OP stack, or the other way around. I forgot, with modular architecture can get complicated, but this is their architecture. So really, I believe the more we go into this direction, the more we will see people use rollups, and the components that actually help rollups are also built with the Cosmos stack, right? Let's say Astria uses Comet BFT and acts as a shared sequencer. Or Ethos, restaking ETH. Maybe you can use that validator set for some other modular stack component. And I think like the Cosmos stack is very well built to enable those components, not only the rollups itself.
Yeah, Cosmos, I guess, have always been sort of playing a large role when it comes to sort of infrastructure plays. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But I guess like what I'm hearing is like a lot of the projects you're mentioning are either in development or maybe have just launched. But actually, I think most of them are currently still in development. So that means that Dimension, of course, you guys have a bit of a first mover advantage in some cases, in specifically around Cosmos. I'm curious to hear from you. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more. What is that experience like right now for a builder? Let's say you want to launch a roll up and you want to use Dimension and let's say Celestia. What does that experience look like?
Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, I really don't think we're at the point where we have rollups on Cosmos. If that was the case, we would have one rollup in production that supports IBC. We actually don't have that. We launched our testnet quite a while ago. We had a lot of interesting stuff, but transitioning to production took us a little bit more, and now we just accomplished and delivered the 2D upgrade, which is coming up next week, and hopefully putting out there the first IBC rollup. So that's exciting. And in terms of the development experience, look, I'll be honest, like I wanted it to be better. I wanted it to be like extremely, extremely easy. It's not there yet, but the way that I think of things is how you kind of modularize, integrate, abstract it, and help everybody just create this experience where it's very easy. So we developed a tool that's called Roller CLI. It's basically Ignite for rollups, something that we developed. It kind of abstracts the requirements. But that's, from that perspective, that's a DevOps tool. It helps you kind of set up the infrastructure. So I'm not sure it's that interesting to the builder. What I see in rollups is kind of the ability to have your own chain, your own environment, you know, just have your own kind of, I'd say, isolated place in the Cosmos and connected to IBC. So this is my angle. And I want to make the developer experience just extremely easy, extremely easy. And, you know, we did that already on testnet. We managed to have you know, thousands of actual rollups with applications on them because we had good, good DevOps tools and good, I'd say, understanding of what is difficult. But getting that to a production grade environment where we're using like real funds here, and it's very important not to fuck up. So now is kind of the test for us to make sure that we can scale it. And I think just getting, I just retweeted a tweet from Barry today that was very, very correct. Like getting from 0 to 1 for us right now is extremely hard, but getting from 1 to 100, that's going to be easier in my opinion. And that's how we are positioned. So yeah, lots of exciting stuff. Builders, we have quite a lot of builders really out the door just waiting for the release. So I'm excited.
Same here. I guess we're all striving towards maybe some kind of a future where deploying a Web3 application is as simple as deploying something on Netlify or Vercel, right? Where you just like you link your GitHub repo, you press deploy, and your rollup is created in the background, and maybe all kinds of services that you chose to tap into are sort of like running for you. I guess that's sort of the vision here. Am I understanding that correctly, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to get there. We are definitely close, but not yet to say that, you know, rollups in Cosmos or like Cosmos SDK rollups are there. Just a little bit more, and we're going to get there. We're going to improve it. And, you know, I think in general, history has a tendency to rhyme. And I think like Web3 is going to look pretty similar to Web2 in that essence. I stated it before, where you choose kind of a data, or, you know, I know it's not a database, of course, but you choose one part of the stack, which is in charge of data. You choose your backend, you choose your front end. And that's how I see you know, the future of crypto. And in terms of the experience of how users interact with it, it's basically deposit, play, withdraw. So everything is just an app and you just deposit to it. You don't know about bridges. You're abstracted out of everything. You just deposit to an app. You use it, whatever it is, if it's a game, if it's a bank, if it's a casino, whatever it is, you play, you withdraw. That's kind of my thesis about it. And where the back end is where you withdraw. This is how the, you know, quote unquote settlement works, where if you're on a roll up, who kind of gives you the check and says, okay, you know, you're out, it's fine.
Yeah, I gotcha. And so maybe speaking about settlement, or when we talk about settlement, a lot of people say settlement isn't real. In reality, settlement is more about bridging in the end. I know Dimension plays a role in that. You guys, of course, worked on your own sort of like implementation of IBC, or you make some modifications to it. Could you, I don't know if you can, and understand, of course, you're more on the business side of things, but what was sort of the motivation, or what was the requirement that forced you to make some modifications to IBC here?
Yeah, of course. I'm also in the research aspects, and but that's true. I'm a little bit more on the business side. So obviously, as a rollup, you can trust. I'd say the Dimension Hub or the settlement layer itself can trust a rollup once it gets a message, like IBC message from it. Basically, somebody on the rollup says, "Listen, I want to get out," but Dimension Hub says, "You know, I can't trust this rollup. We either have a dispute period, or you prove to me via ZK that you want to get out and your balance is the actual balance," right? So the way that Dimension works is that it has a queue. It has this middleware that wraps IBC and says, okay, I'm going to hold this IBC message that you want to get out, right? You have your tokens. You want to get out of this rollup. I'm going to hold it, and I'm going to hold it for X amount of blocks. This is the dispute period. If anybody's going to put in a fraud proposal, which we actually have this coming on the next upgrade, anybody permissionless could have a fraud proposal. It's not fully automated yet, but still could be done via governance where you could actually conclude that fraud is in. And once that period is over, it gets into the real IBC finalization. So you basically, you wrap the IBC as a queue, you wait, you accept that withdrawal request. You allow people to submit fraud proofs, basically a dispute request. And if nobody is putting that, you just accept the IBC transaction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Thank you for clarifying. It's great to hear how you guys are doing that over at Dimension. I'm curious to hear maybe from Nashu also. Maybe you can, you know, we've spoken a bit about IBC bridging, specifically in the context of rollups. What kind of other models can we start thinking about? Or what are really the main issues that we're supposed to look at?
Yeah, I'm mostly also thinking about like rollup to blockchain communication, where blockchain could be anything. So in, let's say, Dimension's case, I want to bridge from Dimension Hub to a rollup. Can I bridge from rollup A to another rollup B, which is also in like at Dimension Hub directly? Or could I bridge from rollup A to Osmosis directly?
Yeah.
And that's the those are the questions that I'm like trying to figure out, and what kind of trust assumptions the clients on each side would have to do, right? Would I, if I want to bridge from the rollup to Osmosis, like on a direct path, would I want to, I would have to have the Dimensions client on Osmosis to handle disputes if I don't want to go through the hub. And doing that might be challenging, right? And you'll have different kind of trust models that you have to go through. You have to prove that the data was included, and you have to prove that the execution was valid. And those are also like branching off into multiple systems where, okay, I can prove the data was included through a ZK proof, I can have optimistic inclusion or just a membership proof, execution as well, right? And then you go, okay, let's say the rollup uses Astria. Then how do I verify that a rollup uses a shared sequencer? Well, they will have to verify that the order, that this shared sequencer ordered the rollups data. So now you have, which also IBC Go team works on, like conditional clients that talk to each other, dependent on each other, to work through if all the security assumptions are correct, to basically let the user get out. And this is, you know, fancy technical talk, but as Yishai said, that if this doesn't give good user experience, then people won't use it, right? People will go through liquidity bridges and swaps, and all those bridges, we have them between L2s on Ethereum, for example, because they suffer from bad UX. They are very prone to malicious players, right? Most funds that got hacked in the last couple of years were through bridges, right? And now that we will have even more chains, even more liquidity will be locked up in those bridges. So we have to make sure that those bridges are secure, but still have the best UX, right? So it's a great approach that you have to have both.
Yeah, gotcha. That's an interesting one. And I guess maybe back to Yishai, you guys are going for the optimistic route right now. I mean, I'm guessing this is probably because, you know, ZK is still, you know, computationally very, very difficult to achieve and expensive and slow. What are your thoughts, though, on sort of like the fact that you now have to work with the optimistic window in terms of like how that might affect sort of the user experience?
Yeah. You know, initially I stated that when we kind of started to think about it, when we said nobody's going to use it, of course, nobody's going to wait for X amount of time. So this is why we built EIBC. And this is why, you know, I published a nice paper on it and did a kind of nice thing about it in on the modular summit in Paris. But I think if you have optimistic rollups with EIBC connected in a good way, you actually have a very good system. And I'll explain why it's extremely, extremely elegant. Try to be humble, but it is nice. It is nice, and I'll tell you why. Because you can have these intent fulfillers. So let's imagine you're on Dimension Hub. You have money, right? And somebody wants to get out. There's like 1,000 rollups out there, right? Or whatever. Somebody wants to get out of a rollup, and you want to make money, right? This is crypto. You want to make money. You have your client. You can fulfill an order, an EIBC order, and make money. The only risk that you have is that you need to verify that rollup. So basically what we're doing here is we're getting to the UX where the user experiences immediately. Once a user asks to withdraw money from a rollup, he gets the money immediately for somebody on the hub, which has an interest to actually verify the rollup. So you don't need to kind of get into the ZK complexity. ZK is very far away in terms of proving the Cosmos SDK, as far as our research goes. But you know, if it will be viable, we will integrate it. For us, it's just a matter of, okay, how do we trust the counterparty chain? And if it's a rollup, we have our system. It could be optimistic and it could be ZK. But the way I see it is currently with the EIBC functionality, that if you guys want, you can go ahead to test it and try it out. It works great. It works. It's even faster. It could be even faster than just regular IBC. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. I appreciate you clarifying. I'm also curious, maybe Marco, you could talk a little bit. I think you have quite a sort of like, you know, you're working on the SDK and you have maybe a particular vision in mind. So, you know, the future, where do we really want this to go? And what's currently missing for us to get to that kind of future? I'm curious about your perspective there.
So I think the Cosmos SDK, as we're seeing more and more, is becoming... So a couple of years ago, it was like the de facto framework to build a blockchain, a sovereign blockchain with. And I still think it is. And I think even more so now in the world of replicated security or like AVSs, using Eigenlayer, the Cosmos SDK is still kind of the de facto from what we can tell with what everyone's building with. In terms of like the rollup space, I think like so the Celestia team already did some proving on some early implementation on optimistic fraud proofs. And we are kind of thinking that in our assumptions and working with ZKVM teams, that it's not as complex to get the parts of the SDK proving, but it is dependent on our new architecture. So the new architecture being like the V2 version of the Cosmos SDK. And in that sense, like we're working with a team, with a ZKVM team, in order to prove a module, which we should have it potentially in the next month or two, proving single modules, and then later on the complete state transition of a block. And so in that sense, it's like it's proving that the software is being built in a way that is adaptive. And so the SDK is being more taken into a world where you can change the direction of what you want to do with the SDK without having to wait. I feel like I haven't been on a space that hasn't had issues with a closing. Can you hear me?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Yep, it's good. Okay.
I'm not sure where it got cut off, but basically I was saying the fragmentation of like bridging doesn't solve our issues in terms of communication between rollups, between chains. You still have the fragmentation of tokens. On a single chain, you'll have many tokens. And so I think that's still a problem to be solved. And more so the UX problems that we have.
Thanks. Yeah, I catched only a little bit of that. I was trying to fix this you know, whatever, this Twitter space breaking. But yeah, no, on the liquidity fragmentation, it might be an interesting topic to discuss a little bit. Would have been nice if Ishai was here, because I think Dimension has, you know, some answers to that specific problem. So let me just share the link one more time. What we'll do is we'll copy and paste these two recordings together, and then we'll add them on YouTube. But thanks, Elon. I really appreciate this. But maybe while I try to get Ishai in, I don't know if Neshu, if you have anything to comment on what Marco just said. Oh, there's Ishai already. Great. Ishai, we were just talking about, or Marco was just talking about sort of like the liquidity fragmentation that takes place when we have so many different roll-ups around. And I know, of course, you guys are working on a solution for this, or, you know, there's the hub that plays a role there. Could you maybe talk about that a little bit? And of course, I do need to invite you to speak. So let me just go ahead and sort that out. And here we go. You should have access now. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the question, but if it's liquidity fragmentation in general. Yeah. So I guess we started out as we wanted to have this capability to deploy a chain without being in custody. And this is how we got to Cosmos, and this is how we got to modularity. And then, as I said, like I wanted to understand, what do users want? What you, as a roll-up developer, what do you want? And the answer, in my opinion, is users and liquidity. And this is why we put an embedded AMM into Dimension Hub, because we said, okay, we have to have liquidity, because this is what users want. They need access to liquidity. And so the purpose of having a dumb liquidity layer on Dimension is just to aggregate just a lot of liquidity for rollup developers to easily tap into that. So if you want to think about Dimension, you know, we're not trying to compete like with Osmosis or with any other chain that wants to kind of do trading. We just want to have a dumb liquidity layer that everybody could aggregate that liquidity on top of shared security. Liquidity on top of shared security. So this is, I think, one of the advantages in the Dimension design, where we want to aggregate liquidity, we want to standardize the bridging system, we want to abstract a lot of things, and we want to make it easier for both users and developers to just have their own app where you can just deposit, you can play, you can withdraw, and you don't think about anything else.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But how does that sort of like work for the rollups? Like they just, because is it a DEX? Is it an AMN? When you say liquidity hub, essentially, what am I think? What should I be thinking?
Yeah, it's an AMM. It's just an AMM. It's actually an Osmosis fork, just a V2 AMM that's on Dimension Hub, and it kind of basically ignites or just bootstraps the liquidity for rollup. So if you're rollup, you're going to have the liquidity pool over there, so everybody could just, you know, purchase a little bit of your token and then deposit into your rollup if you need it. Essentially, it's just an easy way to also route between all the rollups. So Nash before said, okay, so how do I get from rollup A to rollup B? You can do all of that and abstract the user if you have rollup token A and you want to get to rollup B. You can have the routing system use this embedded AMM into the Dimension router if you want, and do that kind of in a way that uses this AMM. So everything aggregates there. And if you want to use this liquidity, you just deposit, let's say it's a perpetual DEX, right? You get that dumb liquidity and you can, you know, deposit collateral into that exchange.
Gotcha. Yeah, I love it. So maybe to continue on the topic of like what else is needed for us to get to like a thriving rollup ecosystem in Cosmos, maybe Neshu, you can speak on that. You're working on a few things as well yourself. I know you've been working on Rollkit, or you used to. I'm not sure if you used to run the Rollkit team, or if you do right now. But that's of course a very important step for developers as well. Is there anything else that you think is like missing right now, or things that people should be working on, but it's not really being worked on? Or is there a specific project that you're excited about? You know that if that launches, if that goes well, we're getting very close to this future that we want to see.
I guess this is me specifically, where when you're going into IBC and bridging, the current design was not really created for rollups, where there is a lot of overhead and gas is pretty much free on Cosmos chains right now. Right? You don't have much congestion. But the rollups basically are a technology to overcome that congestion. And a lot of the cost also comes from posting to GA. So I really enjoy how, I think there was a last proposal from Ethan and Aditya in the ZK working group about, it was about Snark accounts. And you can think of Snark accounts as being a account which, instead of verifying a signature to access the funds, you verify a ZK proof to access the funds. And with that, you can get trust minimized bridging if the Snark account is a rollup itself. So you can get trust minimized bridging from Celestia to a rollup, let's say. And
let's take a step back here. So walk me through, like, why is a Snark account a rollup?
Okay. Normally a rollup, what you need for the light client is a state commitment and a way to prove that state commitment is correct. So what Snark accounts do is give you the storage slot for the state commitment and the circuit verification key, which is verifying a cross 16 proof. And with that, you prove the validity of the execution and prove that you withdrawn on the other side to be able to withdraw on the Celestia side. And you can do that with this new abstraction called the Snark account.
Wild. I can't wait for this to take some kind of a shape where, you know, it's I want to see it and play around with it and, you know, understand what that really means. But that's great. But go on. I think you wanted to mention something else, or you're excited about this. And then
I'm very excited about this, as this enables, you know, a bunch of use cases apart from rollups themselves, right? Which is already a big use case. But the Aditya and Ethan created a proposal. You can follow on the research forum at Celestia, where instead of adding a storage slot to, like, recreating basically this replay protection and all of that, instead you're using IBC Lite clients and interchain accounts to mimic the same effect. And which now, if this path is being taken, you have to optimize IBC, reduce the pre-image size, make the encoding much smaller, because all of that is DA cost, which you want to try to minimize. So seeing them going into the direction will, you know, benefit the whole Cosmos ecosystem, because the moment you have a new Tendermint client, not Tendermint, but new Lite client implementation, anybody can use that. And if the messaging coding is reduced, it's reduced for everyone. So that's, I think, why it's exciting to use the Cosmos stack in that relation, because, you know, all of that technology aggregates and benefits everyone.
I love it. I'm going to have to dig into this forum discussion on the Celestia forum. That sounds super interesting. Thanks for sharing. Maybe we'll close it off here with Ishai. Like, anything you're looking forward to? Of course, I'm guessing a lot of that is Dimension. But, you know, what do you think is sort of like the big missing piece for you guys to move to sort of like a larger scale adoption to make that process like easier? What's that first step that you guys are happy to start taking soon? Yeah, I guess that's fraud proof in some way, but maybe there's
that
one.
That 0 to 1, you know, that 0 to 1 accomplishment, which hopefully we're going to get soon. In terms of fraud proofs, we are actually, there's a lot of work that's been done by the great team in Celestia that we're already adding. I don't want to get too much technical, but there are a few scenarios where the fraud proof is missing. So the iterator and a lot of stuff there that we're accomplishing, that gets in, it's a lot more easier to go to the permissionless level. But I'm putting all of that aside. Like, what we are looking for is a great experience for our users, a great experience for our builders, a strong community. This is what we're after. You know, I said this, it's first UX, it's first product, it's first getting to, you know, valuable products. And yeah, that's what I'm excited about. A little bit of a weird bird in the scene, but I hope that we're going to accomplish that. And my projection is that user growth is going to come into Cosmos with the great work that the Skip team is doing with bridging in USDC. We need more liquidity. We need more builders. We need more community and awareness. We can't stay in this kind of echo chamber of only tech. And I hope that we're going to get there.
Awesome. And where do developers go if they want to play around with Dimension?
So first of all, portal.dimension.xyz. Yeah, it's a full-blown app that you can use for everything: Dimension, staking, governance. And if you want to play around, go ahead to testnet right now, see the UX, deposit, play, withdraw. And if you want to develop, obviously, our docs, you know, of course, you can message me, feel free, and I'll be there to support with everything. But yeah, first stop for developers, I would say, is the docs and the portal. Check it out. And yeah.
Awesome. That's great. And maybe Marco, do you have any sort of thing you want to say? If you're a developer, go and do this and this and that. Where should they start around? Is there anything we can play around with on the SDK side already in rollups?
Yeah, you can already use Rollkit out of the box. So you can either migrate your existing chain or migrate the app that you're building with a single line to use Rollkit instead of Comet. And that way you can enter the sovereign rollup world and start settling on Celestia. So there's already stuff you can do and play around with. On top of that, there's also the world that I mentioned.
Nice. I guess that's probably the same thing that Neshki was going to say. I would think, but unless you have something else to say, any final words, otherwise I'll close it off. But go ahead.
I mean, if you're a builder and excited to build on Celestia, you should really look into the dev calls. Currently, there's the Internet Space Bazaar hackathon going on, and there are a lot of developer videos and guides on how to build with Celestia, which I highly recommend to everyone. A lot of Giga Chats explaining all the frameworks, but also, like, from a business side, how to market, how to find users, what's the narrative, things like that. So highly recommend you to watch those videos.
Amazing. Well, thank you all so much for speaking today, and for those attending, and also those that made it past the crash and joined the last bit of this space. If you're listening, maybe now or maybe later on YouTube or somewhere else, and you're interested in building on Cosmos, you're interested in building a roll-up, and you find the whole thing to be rather confusing, you don't know where to start. There's so many different pieces to it, and so many different places to start. If you're a project in you're looking for some support, please do reach out to us at the Interchain Builders Program. Just go to join.builders, sign up on the application form there. We'll take it from there. We'll have a conversation with you and learn about your project and try to see what you guys are up to and see what we can do to support you guys. Everyone, thank you so much for attending, and I hope you have a nice rest of the day, morning, and evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nam. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you. Motherfucker screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.